Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know.
Maybe you did
what? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on, get in that cell.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. This is our regular Tuesday morning show. On the first Tuesday of each month, we come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. We've been doing this show for 5 years, excuse me, from Ben's Chili Bowl, the first Tuesday of each month. It's a two-hour special, and usually, before the pandemic hit, we're in the process of getting back on track. But we're planning on having a breakfast show. The first Tuesday of every month will be a Ben's Chili Bowl breakfast show where folk can come in, have breakfast, and sit down and participate in the audience as a member of the audience while we broadcast the show. So keep that in mind as things are being wrapped up here in Chili Bowl after the remodeling, and believe me, it is really beautiful how the repairs have been made to modernize and update Ben's Chili Bowl. It's a refreshing environment. The pictures and the photographs and the history that's connected to this place is unbelievable. So this is our first Tuesday. We come to you the first Tuesday every month by on live from Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street, the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. But before we start, we normally have the grapevine, but we're going to pass the grapevine this morning. Excuse me. We have an unusual guest with us this morning. The gentleman is 20 years old, and we saw him a few weeks ago, and he blew Martine and I away. It was 30 kids got together and did a report, a civic report, on what's happening in D.C. and why kids are being criminalized and institutionalized. And this young man, his name is Wesley Parr. He's 20 years old. He works with Lynn Dyson at the Multimedia Training Center. And we were thoroughly impressed with his presentation and his speech. And this report was done by 30 kids who wanted to know why kids are being institutionalized, criminalized, and penalized, and all these new legislations about the curfew, you can't come out, you can't do this, and kids are being attacked and ostracized. This young man and a group of his cohorts got together and did a report, and the report was about why kids commit crimes, what some of the solutions are, and what they see need to be done in terms of bringing the kids to the table, not talk about them, but we should be able to make sure that they have a seat at the table. So our first guest is a young man named Wesley Parr. Let me just say this, that he got involved in politics as of January the 6th. Ladies, this is like seven, eight months ago, and this young man was affected by what happened in Congress when they attacked Congress, threatened to kill some of the representatives and killed several guards or officers were injured. President Trump pardoned all of them, 1,100 of them, I believe. And this young man saw it at 20 years old and did not like what he saw. Him and his cohorts got together and did a report on what needs to be done to deal with our youth in Washington, D.C., and it could be replicated across the country. So good morning to a young man named Wesley Parr, who's 20 years old. And I just want to say that, folks, remember his name, remember his face, even though you can't see him on radio. Wesley Parr, we see him as a up-and-coming new politician.
Well,
I see him running for mayor in the next 8 to 10 years. The gentleman is fantastic. He's been invited to speak all over the city at 20 years old. His oratory skills are off the chain, and I want to say this guy is powerful. Good morning, Wesley Parr.
Hello there. Hello there, Mr. Brown.
And how you doing, Wesley?
I'm doing well.
You're looking well.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to have me open the hour today for Crossroads.
There you go. Nice. I'm glad we got you, because
yeah, definitely.
Would you believe you're the youngest person that been on that show at 20 years old?
Really? With some,
yeah. When,
huh. In a while, yeah.
You're older than me. I'm only 18, man. He said that you're 20.
If you're 18, I'm 2 years old and some spare change.
But you know, Vogue, he sounds like a grown man. I mean, I'm looking at his picture. He's young, but you sound like a well-seasoned orator. You know,
you're going to be impressed like we are.
Nikisha, we talked about him. This young man and his crew, and what they did a report, a youth civic engagement.
Yeah.
And it was prepared by Dr. Ngozi Awa. And, man, I'm telling you, you blew my mind. I've been going to community meetings, events, conferences, workshops with youth. But you were the first youth that we saw who had a crew of people who identified what the problems were for our youth in Washington, D.C., and had some recommendations and solutions that need to be adopted.
Yeah, very much.
This is the word, that, as we said from the top of the show, out of the mouth of youth, out of the mouth of this youth, comes some valuable and important information that we all need to hear. We ain't telling you what we think it should be. We're going to let this young man tell you what the youth see, feel, and believe in what need to be done, and they got recommendations. In fact, when we ran into him, the Attorney General of D.C., Brian Swab, was the featured speaker.
Amazing,
and they blew him off the box. These kids were powerful.
Amazing,
so, Mertie and I wanted to make sure that the audience in D.C. get an opportunity to meet a new, young, up-and-coming activist.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, this cat is all over the city. Since we saw him a couple of months ago, we didn't see him 6-7 times at other events, speaking and sharing his knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
So, Weston, I want to start off with saying, and you just heard from Nikisha Taifa, our co-host.
Yep.
She's been traveling all around the world and just got back from Ghana.
Really?
Martine just got back from Paris a few weeks ago, and I just got back from the restroom.
You know, you're so crazy.
So everybody got back from someplace. So Weston, to start the program off, what do you see with you and your friends, some of the problems? Why are youth being criminalized and penalized from your point of view as a youth? Why do you think you're being penalized and criminalized with the curfews and all kind of lack of programmers and program cuts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd like to first start off by saying that I alone am not the mastermind behind this. What we did that day was the experience of hundreds, if not thousands, of young people in this city, taking their experiences, their hardships, their traumas, and their turmoil, and turning it into something that can be channeled, for lack of a better term. Brief disclaimer. Yeah, I'm not the mastermind behind this. While what I said was very powerful and may have gotten the most attention, I wouldn't say I deserve all that. I'd like to make myself very humble. Southern hospitality and good old Southern humility. I wasn't the main mastermind behind this.
We know you weren't the main one, but you were the focus, man. And the other people
I
you
say
had
all of
you.
That. I won't say all of that.
So what do you see?
In D.C., we're underrepresented, underserved, and forgotten, honestly. This city, for lack of a better term, hasn't done, not even just the city, the country as a whole. I want to speak very broadly on this. The entire country as a whole has not done much to help the young people of this city. Like, what has this country done? Criminalize them? Penalize them for going outside? Taking away any form of recreation they have? We got Karens out in the streets screaming at children for just having the audacity to breathe fresh air. We got COSA and all sorts of online safety acts, quote unquote, heavy air quotes on that, I might add, that are make it almost illegal to speak your mind and making it illegal for you to socialize, whether it be in person or virtually. And specifically in D.C., it's 10 times harder because we're a Democrat city, we're a black city, and we've just been forgotten. I'm just going to keep it blunt. We've been forgotten.
Tell right us now, a little bit about your background, Wesley.
Born and raised in Ward 7, D.C. My mother came here from North Carolina, Kinston. She's a jazz vocalist, voted one of the best jazz vocalists in Ward 7. Still is to this day. She performed on WPFW about a few years ago when I was a boy. Let's see, right now I'm just going around living life, you know, living my 20s to the fullest, doing what I gotta do with the good of this city. Or at least trying to. I don't think I'm doing much, but it's something. It's better than just sitting on my butt playing video games all day, that's for sure. Let's see.
Are you in school right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm very educated. I'm currently taking an associate's program at the University of the District of Columbia, graduated from Idea Public Charter School right in Deanwood. Mm-hmm. I was also mentored by some old family friends of mine. Laura Reiner comes to mind. She's a translator and used to do some diplomacy stuff back in the day. And my father, too, he taught me a lot, especially about business, about being a human being, of course. He immigrated here from Liverpool, England. And he allowed me and my brothers to experience a wider world than I could have ever thought in America. That's for sure.
Hmm. So how did you become involved with the Multimedia Training Institute as a trainee, and just how, what type of doors did your father open as well?
Well, let's start with my father. He was born in 1962, Liverpool, England. My grandmother was a survivor of Blitzkrieg during the Second World War. My grandfather was an organic chemist. They lived a decent middle-class life. Forgot most of the details, but my father, when he turned about 14, 15 years old, about that time, he went off on his own, became a vagabond from the stories that I'd heard, and he did odd jobs from place to place, from Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and about few decades later. By the time he was 19, he made up enough money to go to the Himalayan mountains and start bird watching. He did that for decades. And he decided to take his knowledge, his experience, and his hard work ethic to the greatest country on the face of the planet, the United States of America. He came here with nothing on his back. Just a few pounds, a green card, and a few family heirlooms, if any. He worked his butt off and made his American dream a reality, started a family, and taught us to work hard.
Okay.
He taught us to work hard and do what has to be done, do our due diligence. As my
is your father still living now?
Yeah, he's still with us.
Okay.
He's still with us.
All right, because one of the things I wanted to share with our listening audience, this is a young man who grew up on WPFW.
Yeah.
He was a young kid. His mother sang on the show on PFW several times. His father's been a guest, been on there. And this man, here we have somebody who's 20 years old who grew up listening to WPFW and who got baptized on this January the 6th ride on the Capitol in D.C.
Absolutely.
And as a result of that, it motivated him or inspired him to get involved in seeing what could be done to help other youth in Washington, D.C. This is a 20-year-old young man who didn't like what he saw in the January 6th event.
I'd like to
go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Brown, for cutting you off, but I'd like to elaborate on what happened on January 6th. That day was traumatizing.
Why?
It was. It was very, very traumatizing. When I was a boy that day, when I think I was like 13, 14 years old that day, I just got off virtual classes and my mom was yelling at me, Wes, get the remote, get the TV remote, get to the news. I asked her, Mom, what channel? Any channel. And my aunt was screaming at her on the phone. They're attacking the Capitol. They're attacking the Capitol. So I ran down, turned on the TV, got to CNN, and I saw a whole bunch of angry folk just attacking the Capitol up in D.C., armed, angry, violent. I was worried that day that they were going to come to Southeast, cross the bridge, and start burning that down Southeast. I thought D.C. was going to end up like Tulsa or any name any other black town that got burnt to the ground by a bunch of angry white folk, honestly. Yeah. Shoot. I was worried that D.C. was going to end up the same way. So that definitely, if that wasn't a motivator, I don't know what is, honestly. It was traumatizing for a whole lot of people, me included.
Okay.
And the fact that the president pardoned those men, women, and individuals is, quite frankly,
sad. Horrible.
It's not good. There we go. That's the
pill. There you go.
Term. Not good.
Yeah. You know, the new attorney, the U.S. attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro, who's been appointed by President Biden, she's from New York City, and she had a recommendation she came out with a month or so ago in terms of taking kids as young as 14 years old and taking them to court as adults and putting them in adult court. And we know that you can't lock your way up out of this problem.
You can't.
What do you see? Y'all came up with a list of some of the reasons of why kids are committing this crime. What did you find? What are some of your findings from this group that you were working with in terms of why kids are getting involved in crime or why they're being arrested?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What do you think is the reasons?
Primarily?
Yes.
Lack of economic opportunity.
Yeah. Number one.
Criminalization. And to be blunt with you, systematic racism. These young people are coming from communities that haven't seen much investment, and what little investment there is just to add a few metro stops. That's it.
Let me ask you this. I don't want to interrupt you.
No investment, no banks, no nothing.
Okay, go ahead. I wanted to ask you in terms of financial instability.
Yeah, yeah.
You said about racism and some of the reasons why kids are getting involved. Have you experienced racism as a 20-year-old who grew up listening to WPFW and all of the different? What racism have you experienced? Because you said one of the reasons why we had root cause is racism. What racism have you experienced as a 20-year-old youth?
Well, D.C. is a blue city. I can say that proudly. We're a very liberal city, and thank God I have never seen much racism in this city. However, systematically, on a root basis, if you boil it all down to its essentials, Northwest gets a whole lot of investment. The rich parts of D.C. get a whole lot of investment. And a whole lot of the areas that are predominantly filled by minorities are forgotten and forsaken. I wouldn't say I've experienced much racism in D.C. However, that does not, I wouldn't say that negates the racialized issue. I wouldn't say racialized. The issues we're facing in D.C., especially across the bridge.
All righty. You mentioned the first one. One of the findings, one of the reasons, was financial instability.
Yeah.
What about personal development? What role does that play? Personal development. What role did that play?
Especially mental health. That is so important.
Why?
Mental health is, I would say for someone that was raised in Southeast, mental health isn't talked about much. We're told to, especially us Black men, we're told to bottle it up, be strong, remain strong. You know, men don't cry, men don't show emotion, men don't do this and that. That causes a whole lot of issues, especially in a place as violent as low-income communities. There have been times which I've heard gunshots in the street up on Alabama Avenue. There's been a whole lot of times in which a lot of my peers have died. And it's disheartening and it's painful to see a whole lot of people in power say that we can arrest our way out of this. You can't. What you need to do is realize that there are circumstances in these communities that are causing this. Lack of economic opportunity. We're handling that with the MBSYP program. Lack of ease to get to jobs. We're handling that with the Metro. One of the main cruxes, though, is lack of civic education, lack of knowledge on programs in D.C. We're the capital city of the United States. We have a program for everything. So I wonder, why is it? I'm asking this personally, from my own personal perspective. Why is it that we got a program for everything you can possibly think of? Housing, transport, driving lessons, economic development, everything. Yet these low income communities aren't knowledgeable on it. I don't know why. And honestly, if we have a way I wouldn't say educate, that comes off wrong. Make people more aware that we got programs to help you, that there's already some solutions to these issues. It's just that we need to use what we have available. I wouldn't say that there's something, there's a whole lot of loopholes. Whole lot of loopholes that corrupt people use to make life not good, honestly. And if we close those loopholes, I feel like it'd be a lot easier for people to live life.
Let me
there are government programs that we can streamline, make easier. There's reasonable stuff that we can do to make it easier for not just young people, but just everyone in general.
Let me interject this. Your group came together and did a community report, and they had like five issues in terms of some of the root causes. And you mentioned financial instability, personal development, emotional support, conflict resolution skills.
Yeah.
I want to get to the third and the fourth is community and environmental pressures are significant. Exposure to violence, lack of safe places, inconsistent adult leadership contribute to youth disengagement.
Yeah.
You want to explain on what
that
community, environmental pressures are significant. What do you mean by that?
That is the most important. That is the most street level bare bones issue we have in D.C., especially in Southeast. We have a community that has experienced a whole lot of violence. Like, take me, for example. I was born in 2006. I said this on the podium. I was born 5 years after 9/11, April 8, 2006. I was raised in the midst of a war. By the time I was 10, Osama bin Laden had been killed, yet we were still in Afghanistan. By the time I was 13, violent people attacked our city. And now we're experiencing violence to this day. So when you have a generation of people that have been raised and have experienced violence 24/7 in their communities, in their schools, in their government, and abroad, honestly, mentally speaking, what more can you expect? I would say that the community, the environment that we've seen, the words ain't coming to mind, I'm sorry. There's the environment, especially in low-income areas, are...
So you're saying the environment plays a crucial part in terms of violence.
Yes, exactly. There we
because
go.
Of the violent incidents happening in that particular neighborhood.
Yes, couldn't have said it better myself. It's
what do you suggest need to be done? What do you see need to be done to deal with the violence from your youth perspective?
There's very easy stuff we can do. For example, reopen rec centers. I wouldn't say reopen rec centers, but expand on rec centers. We already, again, as I already said, we already have the stuff and the programs. We just gotta use it. We already have rec centers. We already have after school stuff. It's just that we need to invest PD to have rifles and stuff. We don't need military police state. What we need is a strong and safe community so that we don't have, so that the MPD doesn't have to worry about someone getting shot in the street. Why does the MPD have to worry about a young person getting shot in the street when instead government can invest in rec centers so that young person can, so that young person can instead go to after school or go to the rec center and learn something, for lack of a better term. So they can learn how to swim or something, anything.
Something positive and constructive.
Yes, exactly.
Let me suggest this. We got a couple minutes before we go to a break.
Of course.
And, I was impressed with the recommendations in terms of introduce financial literacy, entrepreneurship at the primary school level, expand mental health and personal development support, establish a youth entrepreneurship clinic, strengthen community-based spaces, youth want more after-school programs, creative spaces, and community centers that are youth-led and youth-designed. Yeah. And the issue, one of the main issues is decisions have been made about youth without consulting them.
Yes.
What's your take on that? What role should youth play in these decisions that's coming down from the legislators?
Well, where do I begin? That is my main expertise. I got a main expertise in politics and legislation. In this city, we have, I believe to my recollection, we have three main branches of youth council, maybe four. We got the main youth advisory council that advises the city council. We got the MPD youth council. We got YAC, I think, one of those. And we got the youth council that advises the attorney general.
Are you on any one of those councils?
No, I'm not. I wish I could. However, the youth council, at least to my recollection and my experiences on a street level, haven't done much. They haven't done much. It's nice on paper, on resume, on your college application. Yeah, I did DC Youth Council for like a year. But what can you, if you are in that position, what can you do to better your constituents? What can you do? And that's for me, that's the important part.
That's right. You're listening to Wesley Paul, 20-year-old activist and maybe a future mayoral candidate, but definitely focus, young man. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. If you'd like to call in and speak with Wesley or Roach, please call 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893.
We'll be back after the break, folks. Don't touch that dial.
And I want to say that this is one of the youngest persons we've had on the show. He's 20 years old, and he grew up listening to WPFW and all of the social issues that we discuss on this particular station. And the brother is 20 years old. He's very knowledgeable, informed. Yep. He's an activist, and we see him somewhere down the road as being committed. Because as of 20 years old, he was affected by a political situation in Washington, D.C., that January 6th takeover of the U.S. Capitol. And this brother is 20. He's been all over the city. He's been called as a speaker at different programs, et cetera. He's very enlightening and informative. And I just want to say that we need more people like this. And let me throw this out at you. For people who want to call in with a question or comment, Merck gave you the number. What do you see need to be done to deal with the problem with youth, the curfew, the violence, the shootings and the killings? From your point of view as a 20-year-old youth, what do you see need to be done, or how can we attack and reduce these negative influences in our community?
There's crisis intervention. There's, funding recreation centers. There's funding our schools. There's so much stuff that we can do that I can't even put it to thought, honestly. But those are the primary stuff that come to me. We also got the MBSYP program. Now there's a whole lot of people
that say
it should be the Marion Barry Summer Youth Employment Program.
Right,
that allows young people to gain employment for at least a month, maybe two.
Right, 6 weeks.
And as well as there are also high school internship programs available. There's a whole lot of people saying this should be year-round. I can't make an official statement on that this time. But, however, there's that as a possibility.
That would help.
Yeah, then there's a whole lot of high school opportunities for young people out there.
If you were the mayor of Washington, D.C. right now, what would you do to make the streets safer for our youth and for the citizens who are not youth because of all the complaints about they've been coming down to the wharf, they've been going to places and having fights and et cetera? You were the mayor of Washington, D.C., what would you do to fight these issues?
Well, firstly, I ain't no Marion Barry, but I'll give it my best shot. Firstly, I'd make MBSYP year round, first off.
Yes.
Our young people need, especially in a job market as bad as this, where people older than me send out 200 plus job applications a week and get nothing back. We need something to put something on the table. I'd also invest heavily in our DC high schools. Young people need internships, they need experience, they need something to do outside of, staying in the street all day, for lack of a better term. I'd invest in crisis intervention, so that our young people know that there's a better option than just starting duels like it's the Wild West. You don't have to be Billy the Kid. You can be, Paul the Peacemaker or something.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? I'd make it apparent that the MPD should or could, is there to benefit the needs of people in this city. To make sure that we are here for you, we're here to listen to you, and to have a crisis intervention branch of the MPD as well. If we don't have that already, I'm pretty sure we do. I'd make it apparent that our young people, that the MPD is here for the community, primarily. How do we do that? The MPD already has a program for young cadets once they get paid, get government benefits, get all that, and then some. And honestly, that is what we should be doing. And I double down on the programs that we already have.
That's right.
Okay. I know, and it says that, that asks you the question. Folks who are listening, you're listening to Wesley Paul, a 20-year-old youth who's been involved on the front line of what's going on in this city. He works as a trainee with at the Multimedia Training Institute with Lynn Dyson. Lynn Dyson used to work with Robert Hooks at the D.C. Black Repertoire Company as an actor. So Lynn has been involved through the years, and I'm really impressed when Lynn invited us over and saw the results of these young people did that report, the civic report, in terms of from their point of view, what the issues are, what the root causes are, and what the solutions are. Yes. And here's somebody who is on the front line, who is a youth, who is involved, and there's not no joogie-boogie coming from some old geezers like us telling them what to do, what not to be done. Out of the mouth of babes come whatever you want to come out of there, and this man is bringing it out. And I just wanted to say that this is one of these, again, somebody who was raised on WPFW. Folks, can you just fathom that? He go a 20-year-old young man who's been listening to PFW his whole life. So he's got a tremendous wealth of knowledge, inspiration from all perspectives. Ooh. And now he's stepping up to the plate to bring about change.
Absolutely.
Folks, you can call in with a question or comment, because we don't get opportunities to have.
Yeah, we've already got three callers on the line.
We do?
Yeah.
Well, let's take our first caller then. Hello, we'll take our first caller. Come on. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Abner. Are you calling for me?
You call WPFW?
Hello?
Hello, yes, you're on the air. Come on, question or comment, please.
Okay, hey, this is Abner. Hey, listen, I grew up right in Anacostia, up around there, and I'd like to ask our prisoner today, what do we do? I like the programs he's proposing, but what do we do with the current youth that are out here? My experience is that a lot of people, a lot of adults are afraid of the current youth, afraid to speak to them and tell them that they're doing something incorrectly, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I had a young man throwing a scooter down the steps in front of a senior building. The seniors are afraid of him. The seniors are, you know, and they say he's been throwing that scooter down the steps. I said something to him. He threatened to call his mother to kick my ass, you know, and I invited him to call his mother, you know, so I can tell her what he's standing out there doing. What do we do with the current ones that are mischievous, doing their things like that, you know? What do we do with the current ones? How do we address that? Those situations that make people afraid to even say anything to them. Because
To your question. Just let him respond to your question. Come on, Leslie. What do you do with
it? I'm not going to hold it to you. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. But what I would recommend personally is that, I don't know. I haven't been living much life, to be blunt. I'm 20. I haven't lived much. But.
Okay, we got
what
you.
What answer I can give, if there is one, is maybe. Just,
come on with it.
I'm going to be blunt. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I do not.
That's an honest answer, man. And that's all you can do. Just give us an honest answer. We have two other callers on the line. Let's take our next caller.
Yeah.
Come on. Question or comment, please. You gave an honest answer. You don't know. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Roach. This is Maurice.
Hey, Maurice. How you doing, man?
I'm hanging on, doing my best I can.
You just let.
Is this Maurice, the one we've been trying to get in touch with, we can't reach?
A good friend.
Where you been, man? I've been calling you every week, you turkey.
Because I'm wound up with the wrong number.
Give me a call later this evening, would you, Reese? Like to talk to you, man.
Okay. Give me the number, because I had the wrong number.
I'll text it to you when we get off the air.
Murder text it to you, okay? Man, we've been concerned
about
it.
You have a concern for Wesley, a question for Wesley?
Yeah, the best he can do with these kids out here nowadays, they're raising themselves. So there ain't much he can do with them. Their parents, they're either mother and father's in jail or on drugs, and they're out here on the street wilding out, trying to do their thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to rope them in. I really don't know. I'm like him.
Yeah, that's something we all got to work on, man, because they still our kids, regardless of what kind of shape they're in. They belong to us. You're right. You got anything else you want to ask Wesley, Maurice?
If I can get his number too, so I can try to give him some kind of help if I can.
Okay.
When Mert send you the information this evening, we'll connect you with it, man, because we've been trying to reach you, turkey.
Yeah, I'm still same place, working the same two jobs every day.
Thank you for calling in, man. Thank you, Maurice. Right. We'll take our next caller. Question or comment, please. You're on air. Next caller. Hello.
I can give him number two, so I can try to give him some kind of help if I can.
We'll give you the number when we talk to you later this evening, Reese.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank all right. Our next caller. Question or comment, please.
Hello.
Hello. You on the air?
Yeah. Okay. My name's Roy, and I wanted to say to the young man, not only do you sound beyond your years, you know, just with your intelligence, but your voice. I never thought you were 20.
Everybody think you're an old man, Wesley. Told you older than me. Yeah. Oh, he's 20. I believe he's 80 years old.
Ah, jeez.
But I would like, I'm starting an organization called Keep It Plain, and it's for black men. And I'm an older gentleman, and we need youth with intelligence and guidance, because somewhere there has been a communication breakdown between the youth and the seniors or the adults. And
absolutely,
we need to develop to find out where that communication breakdown went. I do know that these kids can be reached. The jobs and the things that you said is what I think what it takes. When I was coming up, they had things like, you know, the Great Marionberry, the Pride, the Curtis Patrol. You cleaned your own neighborhood. You police your own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we're holding a meeting at Dorothy Ike's Library, July 18th at 11 a.m. And there should be men of all walks of life, because and it's going to be a group of men can discuss their issues, because black men don't have that. And by you being a young man, it would be good for you to come. You will learn some things. And on top of it, you can express some stuff so that maybe we can develop that communication gap where some of the older guys can get an idea of what's going on. I do believe that we can turn this stuff around. We just have to get started. So I would like to
What's your name, sir?
Roy Johnson. And
Roy Johnson. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just starting this thing, and it's called Keep It Plain, because I want it where everybody can understand what we're talking about. You know, your educational level is, look, we want you to just make sure you talk with everybody understand. You know,
can you give the engineer your number? Because we'd like to connect Wesley with you. Maybe one or two of his other young buddies can come over. Because we like to, we need to get it straight from the horse's mouth. Here goes somebody who's know what the issues are on the front line and doing something about it. He need to be a part of what you're having on the 18th. Is that a possibility?
Yes, definitely. I will leave that. And I wanted to tell, I do know this happens. Where I live in a part of Southeast, Queen Strolls. And I do know this happens. And this is why I believe that young people want some kind of guidance. I walk my dog every day, and I used to speak to these guys, and they will look at me, you know, because they didn't trust me and they didn't know who I was. But the more they saw me, the more they started speaking, the more they actually started talking. And I was able to get them to get some ideas on different programs. So I think it can happen. I just think it's a trust thing that we have lost that we need to develop again. So I would, man, I would love it. I will leave. If you transfer me to the engineer, I will leave my number and we can get in contact. And I would love to have you there, man. And
stay right there. Rob, can you hear me?
Yep. Roy.
Roy, I'm sorry. Roy, take the gentleman's name and number so we can get in touch with him when the show is over. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, Roach, this is Nikichi. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm in the car driving.
We can hear you, Nikichi.
Okay, so I have a question for our guest, our illustrious guest, who's 20 years old, but sounds like he's 50 or 60 or 70 years old. He has been a WPFW Pacifica FM radio listener since he was a child. I'm just curious if he has any suggestions or advice for our phenomenal radio station to be able to attract more youth in terms of programming or in terms of guests or anything along those lines. Just kind of curious, Wesley, what advice do you have for us?
Well, first things first, please. Update the website. It is old and it shows. secondly, job opportunities. There should be a whole lot more, like engineer internships, whether it be internships for on the air stuff. You can allow young artists to perform on there. Young up and coming artists, whether it be R&B, hip hop, jazz, whatnot. You can put in whatever rules you want, like whether it be no swearing or some such. Right. You can also allow a part of the show in which young people can just speak their grievances, you know, vent their frustrations, for lack of a better term. I don't know, like a therapy program or something, you know, something like what Mr. Ambrose doing for the East of the River.
And this is golden. I mean, keep it coming. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like, take notes.
Don't you taking notes, vacation. Yes. I'm in the car driving, but take notes and pass it on.
You got it.
There could also be a program. I don't know. It could be new. It could be in which the elders and young people come together, people from different sides come together to, you know, come to some common ground. So, like, as amazing woman said on the air, she's afraid of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I don't want her to be afraid of me. I don't want her to be afraid of my friends. I don't want her to be afraid of my ex-partners or whoever. And if we can find a common ground, that'd be a lot better than people just being afraid of young people, believing that they're a posse of outlaws like DC's the Wild West.
How can we break that bird? Can we bring the old people and the young people together? As people say, they're afraid to talk to the kids. What do you see we can do to bring the youth and the elders together?
I mean, y'all already got the elders. I ain't gonna lie to you. Especially with the radio.
We got the elders.
You already got the elders.
Yes.
That's your main base. Well, a lot of young people, especially in my experience, have a whole lot of interests. Like anime, like comics, video games, etc. Music, especially. Mm-hmm. There could be a program on the show in which I'll discuss that. And if we can what's the term I'm trying to use? Make the elders not afraid of the youth.
What can we do to make the elders not afraid of the youth? Or what can the youth and the elders do to make them not afraid?
I don't know. Communication. That's it. That's primarily it. Communication.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we got a couple more minutes. Yeah. It's almost, we got about three, four more minutes. Yeah,
absolutely. And let there be something out there to make sure that it's okay for the elders and young people to be together, to talk it out, to, you know, find some common ground, honestly.
Like, that's a question.
We don't need to be divided. Sorry for cutting you off. We don't need to be divided anymore. We shouldn't be.
You know,
if we are to make sure that something like January 6th doesn't happen again, or that Patriot Front can't wantonly walk through our communities using the metro, we have to be unified. We can't be divided anymore. We can't. We have to be strong. And especially if we want statehood for this city, we need to be unified.
You know, you just said, the gentleman called and said his program he's doing on the 18th. You said we need communications. And one of the ways to break down this wall or barrier between the elders and the youth is communications. You suggested at the beginning of the show that we need to open up all the community centers and the churches and the rec centers.
Yes.
And we should have one night or two nights or whatever a week where the elders and the youth get together and just have a round, just discuss what their concerns and issues are and move it from community to community. Last week we mentioned that we showed something about Marion Barry starting a youth fellowship. And that's one of the key things that we've been fighting is financial stability.
Yes.
It's okay that Marion Barry summer youth job program is good for 90 days. You get a check. Yeah. But what happens after the 90 days when you still need a check and you're not on the payroll? Yeah. So we need to get all the big businesses, Giant, Verizon, et cetera, to set up ongoing financial programs during the year so these kids get internships. Yeah. What's your take on that?
I mean, according to the program or government or Trump's government, I guess they want you to fend for yourself.
That's the attitude.
Yeah, that's the attitude of Trump's administration. It's barbaric and it's horrible. According to Ted Cruz.
We got a minute left. I'm sorry, we got a minute left. You want to give your name and the number, how people can reach you if they want to follow up with you, Wesley?
Well, firstly, I'd like to close out with this. Folks, don't touch the dial. Secondly, y'all can reach me at y'all can reach me at email.
Okay.
I'll send it to Mr. Brown so he can send it out to whoever.
You can say it. You can.
You can say it on there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Wesley. Can?
All right then. WesleyP4446@gmail.com.
Say it again a little slower.
WesleyP4446@gmail.com. WesleyP4446@gmail.com. All lowercase, by the way. Also got Instagram at WPAR2006. And I ain't want to dish out a phone number all willy-nilly. It's been an honor allowing me to open the hour. Thank you so much for allowing me to.
You've been listening to Wesley Paul, Multimedia Institute trainee with Lynn Dyson over there on East Capitol Street. We will be having him back because everybody been calling him and saying that this young man sounds like...
Hey, Mr. Rovner.
You know Josh Rovner?
No. But...
You know everybody, don't you?
Meeting for the first time today.
It's just good old-fashioned Southern hospitality.
Thank you. We'll be having Wesley back to give us ongoing updates on what's going on in the community. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
He's 20 years old, and he sounds older than me.
Folk,
you know what I mean?
Everybody, do not touch that dial. I'll see y'all very shortly.
Thank you, Wesley. We'll be back in touch with you and have you back on the show, man. You gave a lot of information. We appreciate you speaking the time.
Hasta la vista.
All right. And you've been listening to Wesley Paul of the Multimedia Institute giving us a update on the report that these 30 youth did, who identified the root causes, the problems, what need to be done, and had solutions on this juvenile situation in Washington, D.C. So stay tuned. We'll be coming back to you within the next hour with Josh Rovner of the Citizen Project, and we'll be talking about youth courts versus adult courts. So just stay tuned, and thank you, Mo. Thomas, our engineer, came all the way from Delaware to help us make this show possible. To Roy at the station, Mertine, and everybody, and of course our distinguished co-host Nikisha. Get out there, Colin. Come on over here, Nikisha. Every time we turn around, you here, you there, Mertine there. Won't y'all take me somewhere sometime?
Oh, good, Roach. You always with us wherever we are.
I'm just kidding. Right. Nikki. Thank you. So you've been listening to Crossroad the first hour. We'll be coming back to you for the second hour. The first Tuesday of each month, we come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. And the Smithsonian Institution has designated Ben's Chili Bowl as one of the 20 iconic restaurants you must visit when you come to America. So, folks, we have been honored to be here. We've been doing this show 5 years from the Chili Bowl. Stay tuned for the next hour. We'll be coming right back. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
What if we stopped trying to fix the world we inherited and started designing the world we actually want to live in?
That's New World Order, a brand new show powered by Freedom Futures Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM.
Join a coalition of young artivists as we scrap this reality and blueprint the future we're ready to live in.
New World Order airs Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on WPFW 89.3 FM.
WPFW continues to celebrate our 50th year with our third benefit concert at the Palisades Hub on Sunday, July 26th from 4 until 6 in the afternoon, including live jazz music by local artists. There will be a performance by Washington pianist Janelle Gill leading a trio, with opening set by bassist vocalist Zoe Jorgensen accompanied by guitarist Parker Spears. More information about attending this event is on our homepage, wpfw.org. Help to keep jazz and justice on the air. WPFW, building a better world, one performance at a time.
Insincerity, the time has come. Insincerity, for us to be one.
The DC Legendary Musicians, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, announces their 20th anniversary celebration to be held Friday, July 10th at Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library, 901 G Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. The program begins at 6 p.m. and the theme is Spirit, Sanctuary, Silence, and Sound, with an evening of music, memory, and recognition. Details are at dclmusicians.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
America, 250 years of democracy, and we are asking, how have we delivered on that promise? WPFW wants to hear from our listeners. What does this milestone mean to you? How can the U.S. fully reckon with its past to move ahead to a more just future? Please offer your responses by calling 202-588-0796. Responses must be 60 seconds or less and can include your name or be anonymous. If chosen, your recording will be aired throughout the month of July. WPFW, building a more equitable world, one broadcast at a time.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county, some another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
Oh,
the jury of your peers having found you guilty 10 years